Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready! Oh, hell yeah!
It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
But it is! Oh, look at that, Mildred. It's the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. This is where we're back in 1996, away from all the festive malarkey, to talk about the New World Order malarkey. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter with that portfolio, joined by resident WCW Nitro Kid Sam Driver.
Right.
And sir, applause to yourself, to Matt Stewart, to Justin Henry from Off of America, because we can finally talk about that big old project that you've been working on for a year.
Two years. My fucking brain.
Can finally talk about it. Because if you listen to the Nitro Reviews for ages, you'll know that normally at the end of the week, I'll go, oh, what you doing this week, Sam? And you'll go, big project, can't talk about it.
Yeah.
We can talk about it now.
We can. When's this episode going out?
It's going out on Thursday, the 7th of December.
So
they've already seen episode one, episode two coming soon.
What date is it now?
It is the 6th today. So we are recording this the day before it's broadcast.
Okay.
So the Golden Age episode two comes out the Sunday after this.
So it's going to be, I see a lot of people going, when's the next episode? Like, so every Sunday at 7 p.m.
Doc-sember.
So I've got to double check two, because I had to fucking double check one last week. I was like, I'll just double check it. And then I must have blinked at some point, like a very specific point during my review of one the first time, and there was a screen tear, but I was like, well, it does kind of look retro, but it was like digital as fuck, and I was like, right, okay, so I'll re-render the whole thing, and that was my Saturday night just fucked. So I was until, I think, 10:45 that Saturday, man. Getting that done and uploaded, and then had to wait till like 3 a.m., push it through reviews, make sure that it didn't get flagged. Sometimes, even though we use license like music, we have rights to, it'll be like, you can't use that. And it's like, we can. We've got the fuck, there's the license. And it goes, for a whole day. So I was like, just go through without any issues, please. And it did. So I've got to double check two, ideally tonight if I can. But at the same time, I'm so close to having four like picture locked. I'm like, fucking, I just want to get four out of the way and then go back. So if I can get the last like 5 minutes of four blocked in today, I'm going to start back with the refining the animation and stuff. But yeah, Jesus Christ, it's my brain.
Mate.
Listening to nothing but your own voice for like, I'd say 2 years. I think it's probably been about a year and a half.
Mate.
But you know, like back when we did the raw AI video, I was like just starting on it. And then that was when it was like, oh, well, this is too fun. We're going to have to do this, aren't we? And it was like, yeah. And I was like, great. And then obviously I've had all the usual obligations in between, and I've had like just random other projects, you know, every now and then I've got to edit a tier, I've got to edit this or that. And then there'll be pay-per-view coverage. So it's like getting hands-on time with it has been like a struggle at points, but I'm happy people seem to be enjoying it.
Mate, it's fantastic.
And hopefully, you know, the rest of it's going to live up to your expectations. I did just have to animate a WWF WrestleFest 1991 arcade machine for part four. So, you look out for that one.
Yeah, there's so much.
A big steroidy needle as well.
Is it a needle that moves and then little water comes out the top? The steroids come out the top.
I could do that, but the deadline is approaching.
Fair enough.
Just placed gently on a table with a little vial behind it.
You forget that Sam Driver is essentially a one-man Pixar.
On this one, yeah.
On this one, certainly.
It's like all of the assets, like we've been using quite a lot of openly available assets, but like it's getting them all to like the territory map. I wanted to do so much more with that, but then it just sort of didn't work because by the time you get to like on this date, and it's like Vince is already in 11 states, so it's like by the time you zoom back out, it's just like okay, you've sort of missed the whole kind of filling it in bit by bit. But we might come back to that for the end of four.
Might be a nice thing to do.
The map slowly fill in time with. But then that's the other thing. I've got to go back and go, when did they first run Pennsylvania? When did they first run Ohio? When did they first? And then fucking get them all timed in order. It's because like people will be like, what does it matter? And it's like, well, somebody out there is going to fucking notice.
And also you're a perfectionist.
Yeah.
You and my good lady are very alike. In the sense of like, it needs to be perfect.
Well, there's 2 points at one when I was watching it back as it was going out, and I was like, fuck. So like immediately, I'm like, if we ever do like a big combined 8-hour mega version of it, I'm going to go back and there's a couple of things I need to clean. Because it's like, just it's one frame where the 4x3 bars don't come in quite in time. And I was like,
and you can see it.
And I can see it. Yeah.
But you're proud of what you've done.
Yeah. You know,
it's okay to say that.
Yeah, that's I struggle a lot with sharing my other work, like my personal work. So it's been nice to actually kind of do more of this, and it's helping me kind of get used to the idea of sharing my other work publicly. So like I'm working on a music video at the minute, and then I want to maybe just start looking at other interesting shit I can maybe do a documentary about in my spare time. See if I can get some funders and stuff. Go do a big boy doc.
And this is and this is like a nice opportunity for you to do the stuff that you really love.
Yeah.
And it's nice when the streams cross.
Well, that's it, right?
That's the dream.
And I get to, because I've been doing 3D since 2022. So I've only been doing it for about a year and a bit. So it's just been like starting on it. I was like, look, I made a little Titan Towers. That was the first thing I made for the whole thing. And now it's just like, yeah, it's just fucking arcade machine and all this shit.
It's just everything.
It's like second nature now. So 3D's been a lot of fun as well.
But we got a lot of praise on Justin Henry and Matt Stewart.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like Matt's editing in particular has tied so much of it together. And like, because I'm obviously, as I said, pillar to post on a lot of other stuff. So the majority of these edits is Matt. Like Matt is the bulk of quite a lot of the edits you're seeing. And he's somebody who I think he needs to know that he's a good editor.
He's a bit like,
well, you know, and it's like, no, you're a fucking good editor.
And they're roles that are unsung so often.
Well, that's it. And it's sort of like, you know, it's just things like, when we were chatting about like the initial look of it, and I was shitting it because I was like, I want to do VHS 4x3, and people are going to be like, what? Like, what are you doing? Because I'm making all these assets and then making them look even worse. But it's kind of like with my limited 3D at the time as well, I was like, well, I can make shit look in 3D already. Let's make shit look in 80s 3D. So that kind of went in, and then it was like, right, let's start using these like blocky transitions and all that. And Matt's just seamlessly sort of blended into that. And then of course Justin's magnificent words, as always.
There is nobody that knows the wrestling landscape like Justin Henry.
Oh,
and
God,
there's no one that writes like him either.
I swear to God, like, he didn't even have to check stuff. We were chatting about something the other day. I think it might have been Jake the Snake getting blinded by Rick Martel with Arrogance. And I was like, what episode of Superstars? Because conveniently, WWE doesn't have any of the fucking 1990 or 1991 stuff on the network. So having to sit there and try and find little clips that they've uploaded from time to time, like, oh, look, it's The Undertaker on the funeral parlor in 320p. And then eventually you'll dig deep enough on their channel. It's like, oh, there's a 720 version. Let's use that. But he was just, I was like, what episode was this again? It was like within 2 seconds. It was just, oh, yeah, this date. And I was like, what the fuck?
He's written a series. He's written a trilogy of wonderful books.
Yeah,
him and James Dixon, all about like the attitude.
The Titan series.
The Titan series. Yeah. So it kind of covers like the Attitude Era and beyond, and all in between. Just an incredibly talented writer who I hope gets enough of the plaudits. But if it doesn't, then please, this is our moment to say thank you.
And I think above all else, an immense knowledge of ECW. But more on that later.
Yeah.
Ooh,
tease. Hey, look, Let's go back to 96. Let's take a break from the golden era. Let's go back to
like an hour and then just throw me back into the pan. I'd need dinner, but I don't want to eat unhealthy dinner. But I'm probably going to have to get a meal deal again.
We've taken you out of the water.
We've thrown just me straight to shake back into you fucking, off. I've just come off WrestleMania 7 and it's like Randy and Liz and all of the, and the reuniting and all that shit. And then now it's just like Randy and Liz in 96. And it's the complete fucking polar opposite. And it's just sort of
how the world turns, yet at the same time barely moves. We are in October the 7th, 1996, for this week's episode of Monday Night Troll. Number one movie in the UK is The Nutty Professor.
Nice.
Eddie Murphy playing the clumps with hilarious results.
Yes. Lots of farting.
A lot of fart jokes.
Yeah.
I'm having my dinner. That's the film.
Let's do a whole sequence. It's just a normal scene, but the farts get louder every time.
It's based on an old movie called The Nutty Professor, which is the guy who wanted to look different. And
which is also, he goes on to do Dr. Dolittle, which is very similar.
Very similar movie.
No, very similar in terms of it was like an old thing and then it gets redone with him as sort of the main.
Yeah. He's got two real styles, which is bringing back old movies and putting fat suits on and playing himself multiple times.
Norbit. Now. He's also Donkey in Shrek, which is, for my money, his finest role of the modern era Eddie Murphy.
Fair shout.
When you go back to the 80s and early 90s, his work's shit hot.
Hey, look, make money. Make money. The first Wives Club, still number one movie in the US. I mean, there is that.
There's a new one coming, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, I believe so. I think I read something about that.
Everything's getting a remake. Do you know that there's a new version of there's a prequel to the Polar Express coming out.
Is it Zemeckis again?
Yeah, it's
original director.
Original director.
Yeah, good. I'd like, because Polar Express gets a lot of unnecessary shit. I think they should just remake the film itself, like re-render it with better textures, better models, keep the same performances.
No, I quite like the Uncanny Valley feel to it.
I wasn't that arsed about like that, but a lot of people are kind of like, oh, it's so creepy. And I'm like, but it's a lovely film. Like, it's such a nice Christmas film. So just go back and redo that. Prove George Lucas wrong. Show that it can be done well. Don't just stick a bantha. All right, stick a bantha in the background of one scene just for a laugh. But like, yeah.
That's nice. Number one song in the UK this week is Deep Blue Something, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Nice.
Does that ring a bell?
They were playing the Clooney before, I think their tour got cancelled and rescheduled, so they might be coming back. It was like 25 years of Breakfast at Tiffany's or 20 years of Breakfast
Amazing.
At Tiffany's. But yeah, they were like on a bill, and I can't remember who, they were touring with another big sort of one-hit wonder band, but I was like, I'd fucking go to that.
I'd be up for that as well. The song is sung from the point of the view of a man whose girlfriend is on the verge of breaking up with her because they've got nothing in common. Despite desperate to find something, he brings up the Audrey Hepburn film Breakfast at Tiffany's, and his girlfriend goes, oh yeah, we both like that. And he argues that should serve as enough motivation for them to work out their problems. It's a song that very much says what it is.
When
if you listen to the lyrics.
When she later threatens to leave him anyway, he drags her like into the car and then plows the car Ram Raid style. Ram Raiding was a big 90s trend.
Over very the big 90s
thing. In like Tiffany's window in downtown New York. And then everybody in there is like so impressed with him. They actually give them breakfast.
Yeah, and they go, hey, we've got this in common now, as her body is. Just
and breakfast at Tiffany's is actually like impossible to eat because it's all just gold rings and shit and diamonds. So like the last line about it is smashed up teeth. That's what it's about.
Here is your breakfast at Tiffany's. And it's just like 17, 19 carat diamonds.
Eat them all. Eat them. He's trying to swallow up. Chew your food.
Oh, it's horrible.
You'll choke.
That'd be 60 grand, please. What? It's horrible. And it's expensive.
You wanted breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mouth blooded. Audrey Hepburn.
Also, not only do we want some royalties, but so does the original filmmaker. So,
Pony.
Imagine they did that to them. Are you going to use our film title? Yeah. No money for you.
Audrey Hepburn needs another house.
to put her other houses
to
in.
To put her other houses in. So they're all together. The Macarena is still number one in America.
Of course.
Cannot shift the Macarena.
No.
Here's some boring real world news, and I feel like this is something that might like snap a sinew in your brain, Sam Driver. On this very day, Rupert Murdoch launches Fox News. At its debut, 17 million households were able to watch. However, it was absent from the largest US media markets of New York and Los Angeles at this time. Rolling news coverage during the day normally consisted of 20-minute single-topic shows, such as Fox on Crime, Fox on Politics.
Let's not call it news.
News headlines and such.
His reanimated corpse has been fucking flogging the public the world over for God knows how many years now, to the point where he's banned from his own country. So, and yeah, oh, I've stepped down. You put the worst possible son in charge, like everybody knew you were gonna. So this is gonna be a new golden age for shite on the level of Tucker Carlson. But don't worry, he's on X now. Look at his billions of views.
Does that mean anything? And also this week, and I don't think this will have any major significance for what we're talking about, October the 10th, Turner Broadcasting System merged with Time Warner. I can't see any reason why I even wrote that down.
It just means it's very insignificant
to what we're talking about
today. It just means that WCW is going to get covered in Time Magazine loads, and Warner Brothers will probably want to make loads of movies about all the wrestlers.
Yeah, that's all it'll be. Yeah. That's all it'll be. Yeah. Have you seen Inception?
Yes.
You know,
I'm a very big Chris Nolan fan.
There you go. So right now, October the 10th is basically the day that the van just careers off the bridge. But it's obviously going very slowly. Yeah. But it's just careering off the bridge as we speak.
Yeah, it's getting there. Somebody's currently looking over the Turner like network output going, oh, that's fucking sick. That's amazing. Wrestling.
Mm.
And then kind of going, And that's like to be continued.
Pop a pin in that bad boy. In the world of the wrestling, from the Wrestling Observer,
yeah.
Apparently, all the wrestlers have been sent legal. All the wrestlers
all
in WCW.
Them. Just all of the
all
wrestlers.
All the wrestlers ever. All the wrestlers in WCW.
Bruno Sammartino, the fucking works.
Right, we'll start
even
with
David.
A.
Even David got one.
Start with A. Aaron Aguilera.
Albert and A-Train got two.
Oh.
And then he got another one for Tensai.
And another P for Prince Albert.
And Bernard.
Prince Albert.
And P for, yeah, he got five. The poor bastard.
All the WCW wrestlers today have been sent legal letters saying that they are not allowed to say WWF, Diesel, Razor Ramon, Big Daddy Cool, or the bad guy on WCW television. Just want to cover their bases when people start feuding with the outsiders.
Keep my company's name out your fucking mouth. And then the company goes, we're not even a company anymore anyway. We haven't been for years. Fucking hell. Mm. And then the company's WCW sat there kind of just crying while everybody's going, just leave Eric. Just leave Eric. And Eric's like, we're not even a company.
From the Observer this week, there is more and more behind the scenes heat coming in the Hogan Nash Hall camp. Not to mention...
No, what?
I know.
Those three? They seem like a dream.
They seem like a dream to work with. Not to mention the disenchantment of those not in the camp. So people who are around the camp don't like it. People in the camp don't like each other. Nash and Hall are tired of playing background vocals, and they are also mad about the money that Hulk Hogan is making.
Why would you be fucked off about playing background vocals to Hogan at this point?
Because you want to, you want to be lead singer.
I know he's making bank, and this is about to completely fuck WCW in terms of contractual statuses, mm-hmm. which is going to be delicious when we get there. but at this point, I get it. You're cool as fuck, though. You're on the outside. You don't feel like it. Feels like you're too cool to fucking wrestle in such a shit company, right? That's what you're trying to get across. So just fucking hang back.
Yeah.
Like. Pick up your paycheck for doing next to nothing.
And what a paycheck it is. Nash will figure that out.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll figure that out. A few other bits and pieces, but I'm going to get to them as we go through the show. We are live in Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah!
A revolutionary thing occurs at this show, Sam Driver, that arguably changes the shape of wrestling.
Is it that only three of the four fireworks go off at the start on the ring posts?
I mean, that was hilarious, but no.
It's like, it might be Kane.
It might be Care.
It's definitely Can. I don't know if... got three of them.
They have plumbed in and utilised a video wall.
I didn't notice it.
It was right above the set, so you couldn't see it. It's for the live crowd only.
Because I heard it get mentioned, and I was like, all right, you bullshitter, what's going on?
No, it's there, because the last few weeks we've had on Nitro, they've done so much behind-the-scenes shit, and the crowd are like, this is fucking crap, we don't know what's going on.
Fuck them, card subject to change, mate. Give me your $50.
Here's 10 minutes of silence, and we're not going to tell you what's happening.
There should just be a picture of Eric like this. Or a video of him, just like get a little monitor just for somebody.
Pointing at his
just
monitor.
Pointing at cards subject to change like this. Just like tapping the sign in The Simpsons. Just...
or maybe tap the sign. But this is so, because that's been happening, this is designed to try and get the crowd on side that come to Nitro.
It's
because they can see it being a problem in the future.
They've had it on pay-per-views before and used it for Simply logos and had it at the side of the stage and stuff. It's I guess it's something that just hasn't really been thought about. Is Raw using one by this point? Is
no.
the Tron? Yeah.
No Tron on
so
Raw.
So, like, it's basically, like, it's not really been a factor, but the more backstage the shit's getting, the more it's a necessity, right? And it becomes clear when crowds are starting to get more and more pissed off that, hey, maybe they want in on the action. And also, they'll cheer or boo so we can use the sound of it. Ah!
I know, right?
Fuck!
And boy, genius. Is it used effectively on this particular show, which we'll get to. Tony and Larry open. They're discussing what went down in the NWO suite last week. They didn't talk about Jerry Sags talking out of his ass, nor did they talk about what Sam Driver is doing with his hand.
What about Nobbs just fucking like going to town on that big slab of salami?
I mean,
fucking rubbing it in his face.
He fucking went
just
for it, didn't
fucking.
He?
Sniffing the big old salami.
He loved his big old salami. Larry Zbyszko is adamant that Liz is joining the New World Order.
Like, well, I mean, she clearly is. She's being offered movie roles, and also Larry knows that Liz can't be trusted to do anything. So Liz inherently is an evil person.
I mean, somebody who sat there looking coy and nervous and then ran off saying, no, leave me alone, that really gives off the energy of somebody who's joined the New World Order.
Randy had her number as well. The second that Randy popped up, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Shouting out in the hallway.
Liz.
Shouting, son of a bitch, in the hallway.
Do you not listen to Arn and woman when they told you to stay at home, love? Just stay at home. You know, if Rick's not here for you, even though he stole all my money, and Arn's not here for you, you shouldn't be leaving the house at all. Not even to go shopping.
No.
Not even to come down and say hello to your friends.
Savage,
I
obviously.
I still can't believe that was essentially the message of a promo to Liz last
week. Mad, isn't it? It's grim. Woman. Hippity-hoppity, women of property.
Well, we'll get to that later.
We will certainly get to that later. Fuck a doodle do. So Randy Savage, livid with the New World Order. Tonight we'll face Ric Flair. Not in the New World Order. But he will face Hogan at Halloween Havoc.
I want at least two of my six credit cards back, Rick. He doesn't know they're maxed out yet.
No one's got the heart to tell him. Our opening match is Harlem Heat versus the Public Enemy. And Sam, we've got new WCW World Tag Team Champions.
Whoa.
I know. It was on Saturday night.
Then it
on
didn't
Saturday
happen.
Night.
It didn't happen.
Well, Nick Patrick seems to think it happened. He officiated.
Has somebody not pulled out the proper Nick Patrick? We've pulled out the Saturday night one instead of the Nitro one. They've got the fucking figures mixed up again, haven't they?
Well, the funny thing is, there might be different Nick Patricks because there was an episode of Saturday night that aired the other week where he didn't have his neck brace on.
I told you. I'm confused. So we've got Nitro Nick Patrick on Saturday night, all healthy, and now we've got Saturday night Nick Patrick, and that's when shit started to go sideways.
It's all gone. That was the downfall of WCW.
He
Hardy Reynolds did not mention that in the book.
He thinks it's Saturday night every time he's turned on.
Don't we all? Good night, everybody. So Saturday night, with the help of Colonel Rob Parker, cheating, Public
Big
Enemy
wanger.
Lost their belts. I know, little cheeky piece of shit. Rocco Rock got his leg, Johnny Grunge got his kneecap knackered by a weapon.
Well, he's had like a bit of a bad knee for a while, but they've been just making a slow little bit of thing about it.
And it cost them the tag titles. Harlem Heat are the champs. This match is a non-title match, though, between these two. Harlem Heat will face the Outsiders at Halloween Havoc. It's just like both the Gypsy Woman and the commercial for Halloween Havoc said last week.
But don't just take everybody else's word for it. Give it 2 minutes until the match starts.
Oh, then you'll be fine with it. Now, the match itself, it's a fairly standard match. Seeing these two, Sister Sherry at one point is George Aki with Rocco Rock. It looks like he's about to kick her head in at one point.
Yeah, he gets out the ring and he just sort of squares up to her.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
During the break, Liz is knocking on Randy Savage's dressing room, and I really think this might have been an accident. So she's knocking on the... Randy, let me in! Knock, knock, knock. Randy, let me in! Third knock, the door opens. To which she then goes...
He was just hiding behind the door. Like, fuck you. What do you want?
Mind you, that lampshade looked interesting, didn't it? If you look in the corner. That Randy Savage shaped lampshade. So then Liz goes in, looks around the room, and then leaves again, and they're like, oh, where's Randy gone? Randy, bo-bandy. Rocco gets worked over by Booker T, Stevie Ray, and Sherry. Sherry gets a few shots in, to which point the NWO arrive. Oh, whacker, hey, hey. There they are in the crowd, hey, hey. Hey, yo, Harlem Heat, you two hillbillies. You want the outsiders? You're going to get it.
At Slim Jim Halloween Havoc, we're so cool. We said the sponsor.
He did say the sponsor. Nash and Hall are dicking about on the microphone, talking about taking the belts whilst the four just ignore them and carry on wrestling. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because like then they're going, hey, you lot of shit, we're going to beat you. And then the match, they carry on wrestling. No one pays them any mind. And then there's Scott Hall going, ready or not, here we come. Going to take the belts. Still ignoring them. And then
gonna
they go,
get you.
And then they go, all right, we'll see you at Halloween Havoc. And then they leave.
While Nash does the entire thing with just a mouthful of peanuts. Why would you want to work more when you just do that and get a fucking paycheck?
Fucking why wouldn't you? It's true, though. But I love that everyone fucking ignored them. And they went, all right, bye.
The crowd didn't, though. And the crowd were into it. And there's some guys in the crowd with NWO sprayed across their naked chests. Ooh.
NWO's getting over like Rover. Scott Hall dropping Ready or Not, Here We Come, which is a nice little Fugees reference.
Yeah, Ready or Not, we're going to get you.
I thought he said Ready or Not, Here We Come.
I think he said that.
Ready or Not, Here We Come, we're going to get you.
But he doesn't say we're going to find you.
No.
So we're going to get you. We're going to get you. We are going to get you. We're going to get you, everybody. Spooky fingers. Bye.
Then he holds his nose and disappears. Puts his Christmas hat on and vanishes like in the Christmas Chronicle. Like Kurt Russell in the Christmas Chronicle.
X-Pac's just filming them like a fanboy.
I love it.
Just
on a big, nice hand
big
cam.
Big, fat camcorder.
Bloody gorgeous. Anyway, as the match wraps up, Rocco goes through a table, Grunge gets hit with a chair, and then Grunge gets his knee buckled with a steel chair-assisted diving knee drop, and Harlem Heat win the non-title match. What was the fucking point?
Well, it sounds more like a Johnny Grunge problem, to be honest. It
does sound like a Johnny Grunge
just
problem.
Don't have a bad knee. Don't let somebody put your knee in like a pilmanization situation. And just don't let that happen.
Moral of the story.
Although, fucking Rocco Rock takes quite the tumble through the table on the outside with Parker. He kind of jumps in as if he's going to make the save, and Parker just goes, nope, and shoves him off the fucking rope. While the entire time, is it fucking Sherry just George Akin with Patrick? And it's just like, that goes on for like 3 minutes.
There's a lot of weird padding in this show. A limo arrives. Oh, it's probably the NWO. Door opens. God. Wait a fucking minute. It's not the fucking NWO.
It's Tom's close personal friend.
It's my very good friend, Jeff Jarrett.
It's Jeffy J, everybody.
It's Jeff Jarrett.
Jeffy.
Jeff was released from the WWF a good long while ago.
Yeah.
He's done some stuff in the USWA. Conversations with him and Eric Bischoff started a few months ago. And they lead us to where we are now with Jeff Jarrett as part of WCW. We've kind of drip-fed a little bit about Jarrett coming in, but this is where we're at now.
There's no need to cover him, though, because he's not doing Slapnuts yet. So they should ignore him completely. And we're never going to mention him again until he first says Slapnuts.
But what's going to happen is that on WWF television, they are going to retaliate.
Good. If you mention him once more.
Not going to, no. All right. Because on WWF television, we're going to meet the real Double J.
We are. We're going to meet Jesse James, aren't we?
Inspired by all of this. And they're going to do the storyline, Slapnuts. They're going to do the storyline. Cheeky boy. They're going to do the storyline, which they wanted to do when Jarrett was still in the company.
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
I remember it. So the idea is that basically you've got With My Baby Tonight is Jeff Jarrett single. Jeff Jarrett has the roadie, as who would go on to be Road Dogg, of course, Jesse James, is his like roadie, right? Like, because he's supposed to be a country music musician. As far as I remember, the idea was that Jeff would keep making a really big deal out of With My Baby Tonight. They were going to do a whole thing with it. There was like a music video at one point.
In Your House 2, I think they had Jeff sing it live.
Yeah, sing it live. But it turns out all along, I think it's going to be like a Virgil situation they were planning where he just treats the roadie poorly so much. The roadie pulls the rug and exposes that he was the real singer of With My Baby Tonight and that Jeff Jarrett is a fraud. And then it required them losing. I can't remember who they had to lose to.
Shawn Michaels.
And it sort of fucked them and then immediately turned them against each other. And I think, was it Jarrett in particular was that I don't really want to do that.
The problem that Jeff Jarrett's argument was, so the plan was in your house,
yeah,
on the same night he was going to lose, I love Jarrett. He was going to lose the Intercontinental title and he was going to be exposed as a fraud on the same night.
That's
and
it.
Jeff Jarrett went, well, hang on, because then that leaves me with nothing.
Yeah.
Like if you do it all in one night.
It just makes me a red hot heel.
Do this all over. I know, right?
And it puts me in a feud that people kind of want to see.
So there was a big
shit.
So there was a big fallout and he was taken off screen, made a brief comeback, and then they just, and then he, and then they ended up not seeing ways, and then he got his release and he was away.
And then he goes back, doesn't he?
Briefly.
Briefly.
Very
and that's when
briefly.
There's some backstage shenanigans and some contractual things, and then he comes back and we can talk about Slapnuts.
Now, basically, that's how we go. but obviously, in seeing Jeff Jarrett turn up on WCW television, WWF are going to go, right, we're going to do that fucking Jesse James storylines we want to do.
I would have liked to have seen it. I get that maybe it wouldn't have worked for, you know.
I think he wasn't against doing it. He wasn't against doing it.
It was more doing it immediately.
He didn't want to do it all in one night. He wanted to spread it out a little bit and maybe do it later into the year. But it was his issue was doing it all in one night. But either way,
it's because he spends his days working hard on the go.
And the hands on the clock are just spinning too slow.
And he just can't wait to be alone with his Intercontinental title tonight and with Road Dogg. Why are you taking both things away at once? Fucking pieces of shit. That was the original lyrics.
They were. I read them. We get a recap next of Nick Patrick on WCW Saturday Night.
Yeah.
Saying like...
The wrong Nick Patrick.
The wrong Nick Patrick. The bizarro Nick Patrick. Going, fucking Nick sick Patrick. Of people treating me like shit.
Well, he's levied a fine, hasn't he?
He levied the biggest fine in sports history, apparently. $1 million to Randy Savage for attacking him. And he says, if anyone's got anything smart to say about him, there used to be a WCW announcer that used to stir up trouble, and he's not here anymore.
I send him packing back down to the professional masturbation game. He's out of wrestling, folks.
I haven't read anything about, like, I know the last time we saw Mean Gene on TV, there was contract negotiations. I didn't hear that they'd fallen out.
He might just be on a cruise. You know, like...
That's risky in his game.
There's group cruises, you know, it's competition cruise.
Oh, the boat would sink.
No, you do it off the back to make the boat go faster. Like the tank in GTA 3.
It's like that noise off the back
of
the boat.
You can't hear it over the waves, Tom.
If there was enough of you, you could. Depends how many's on the boat. Is that not going to kill several breeds of fish and marine life?
No, it'll just make several forms of homunculi.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's a load of
Isn't
little
Isn't that
mean
how mermaids were created?
Probably, yeah.
Human.
It's how mandrakes were made.
Human sex excrement in the water.
Is it mandrakes? I think if you go back far enough in British, like, law, pagan law, whatever it is, it's the sperm of hanged men. Where that falls, a mandrake grows. I think that's it. Like the shrieking plants.
Because it's the...
Yeah, it's like the bastard child of an evil hanged man.
That's a really dark idea.
Yeah. Or a particularly innocently hanged man, you know.
Yeah, it could have very
anybody getting hanged.
Why is spunk coming out of a hanged man?
Well, I assume
they wank him off. Assume,
well, I when you pass,
all your fluids.
You void quite a lot of things. So I don't know if that happens.
Mm,
it's a hell of a way to go.
I mean, I'm
going out on top.
and that has been how some people have gone. in their own home. But anyway, that's a really horrible thought. Feel a bit.
How did we get onto it?
Because we started talking about Mean Gene. It's Mean Bastard Gene once again.
Oh, he just won't stop wanking.
He will not stop wanking. Diamond Dallas Page, thank God. He's facing Jim Powers next. Powers over Powers Page, but Page cheap shots get into the game. We then get a picture-in-picture of Page promising a butt kick into Eddie Guerrero. And I love this line. I'm going to put something on you that Ajax won't take off. Like, fucking hell, I've not thought about Ajax, the football club, or the cleaning product in ages. Ajax.
Well, Ajax, the football club, is Ajax.
Bless you. But Ajax, have Ajax?
I've seen it. I don't know what I know it's a cleaning product. I've seen a rusty tub of it.
Mm.
But that's about it.
It's probably very carcinogenic.
Just one in the shed.
There's always one in a shed. It's like a very, very strong white powder.
Right.
That you use, like, it's almost like a powdered soap.
Okay.
It's really like, it's very chemically.
Okay.
It's really good for like cleaning.
So put it in your eyes.
Do not rub it in your eyes. It's really good for cleaning.
Chew on
pipes.
It.
And nom, nom, nom. Put it in a drink and have a lovely little drink.
Well, get rid of COVID if it's good at cleaning pipes,
clean
right?
Inside.
Donald Trump says that stuff works.
Can we try injecting Ajax into our veins? Yeah, mate, why not? You go first.
Can we try setting age limits for presidencies?
90 upwards. Just as Powers gets back into it, he goes for full Nelson and whoop-bam! Diamond Cutter out of nowhere.
As if Powers is winning against DDP.
Of course he's not. God love him.
DDP going into a pay-per-view. Who do you think you are, Powers?
Yeah, it's Eddie Guerrero and
you
DDP.
You want yourself one of them Kevin Nash jobs where you just eat peanuts and shout insults.
I mean, he's getting peanuts from what I can gather.
And he's getting abuse from National.
DDP teases smacking Teddy Long in the mouth and kind of laughs it off and comes away. DDP and Eddie Guerrero at the pay-per-view. That should be a lovely time.
Which pay-per-view is that again?
Slim Jim Halloween Havoc.
That's right.
That's it. I've been learning since we've been away.
A lot of product placement tonight.
Mike Tenay welcomes the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And who is this with him? For anyone who's seen Man to Man with Dean Lerner, I thought this was Steve Pissing. It's not. It's Jason Keller, the Slim Jim Halloween Havoc car driver. And you loved this segment.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it is when Randy walks in, but Tenay introduces him.
And Tenay tries to talk to him about his match with Ric Flair.
I've not got notes this week.
So Randy Savage is there, and bless our boy who's with him, Jason Keller. He's just like a slight guy.
Yeah, and he's just in his
full NASCAR gear.
Yeah, and he's just like, you know, he's a fucking NASCAR driver, right? Like, guy deserves props, and he's out there, and he's looking proud in his uniform. And Tenay says something to Randy. And then Randy's like, yes, I did. Let me have the microphone. All is like one word, like so much faster.
So because today wants to know about how he's feeling about facing Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And that's where he goes, yes, I did. Let me have the microphone. One word, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah.
And then this becomes not Mike Tenay interviewing Randy Savage, but Randy Savage interviewing Steve Pearson.
It becomes Randy Savage playing The Price is Right is what it becomes.
So what happened over the weekend was a speedway contest, which saw the WCW Slim Jim Halloween Havoc car and the NWO car on the same track.
Shit, going head to head. That means that whoever comes out on top of this surely is the better of the two, right? And we've got Kyle Petty and the other one. Was it Carl Petty?
Carl Petty and Jason Keller.
Yeah, and Jason Keller. Like, it's fucking shit hot. We got a bad boy running the NWO car. We got, like, a straight-up American bad boy, like, cool guy who probably loves his God, guns, and government driving the WCW car. What happens, Tom?
The NWO car smacks into a wall halfway around and is written out of the competition.
Fucking useless.
The W's done. And do you know what? It's actually one of the very few jobs that the NWO will do. In all their time.
In fairness, who can predict, right? It's a fucking NASCAR race,
for
one.
Yeah, you can't book a NASCAR race.
Dangerous, dangerous speeds. Incredibly close quarters. For anybody who's never seen NASCAR, you've seen it mentally. The car's going round in a loop, usually. Sometimes the tracks deviate, but usually it's cars going round in a loop. Cars are all incredibly close together. It's all about physics. It's all about using, you know, wind properly, using like slipstream of cars you're moving in front of, moving as a pack, as a unit, to get yourself as fast as you can, which means at some points you're literally less than a foot away from the car next to you. And then there's four more cars that are less than a foot away from you on your left. And you're also like 45 degrees and doing like 200 mile an hour.
It's scary.
So it's like the slightest like sneeze and it's just... And that's it.
It takes so much. So the NWO car didn't make it through, but the WCW car did very well. And Randy Savage has a very unique way of deciphering how they did. Randy Savage asks Jason Keller, did we finish in the top 25? To which Jason goes, well, we certainly did, Randy.
Yeah, we did, Randy, yeah.
Yeah. Did we finish in the top 20?
Well, Randy, we finished in the top 20. And the crowd's like, woo.
Top 20, but did we finish in the top 15?
Well, Randy, you were there.
That fucking killed me.
Randy,
mate, you were there.
You were there. You know we finished in the top 15.
Because
I think at this point,
he was a bit like, mate, you were there.
Are you going to keep going? Is he going to be in the top 40 next?
I was expecting to go, mate, before you came out, you asked me where we finished. Have you forgotten already?
You were so drunk, mate. I had to tell you six times on the day where we finished.
Anyway, it turns out the WCW car finished in the top 12.
With a big medal that said 12 on it.
Yeah, exactly. Finished number 12. And yeah, we're really happy about that. Like, good for you. So then Savage is applauding our boy.
But why does Savage go, did we finish in the top 25? Did we finish in the top 20? Did we finish in the top 15? Did we finish in the top 12? When he could have gone, did we finish in the top 10? And the answer would have been yes. And top 10 sounds so much better than top 12.
I think maybe in Savage's head, it didn't feel like a big enough accomplishment. So he tried to do something to make it sound like it was a bigger deal.
So it's like, we didn't finish 12th. We finished two above 12th. When we finished in the top 10. It's like, fuck yeah. I've played Daytona racing before. It's impossible to break the top 10 on hard mode sometimes.
Yeah, because you're too distracted parking up in front of the Jeffrey statue and waiting for it to start dancing.
Yeah, and also the soundtrack slaps.
Daytona. Go away. Places there. Anyway, as Savage is about to invite Steve Pissing back for a lovely half cup of snaps, Miss Elizabeth appears to try and talk some sense into Randy Bobandy.
Randy, we need to talk, she says.
And Savage is like, no, come on, Jason, my new boyfriend, let's go.
I think, what does he say to her? He's like,
he says something to her that's just like really blunt. And it's something like, oh man, what is it? He basically insinuates like, I'm not fucking listening to you. It's basically just like, you know, what's done? Like you, I know all I need to know. Like, fuck you, Liz.
Yeah, it was
Liz
very
is like,
dismissive.
Quite clearly panicked and like, I don't know what to do. And he's just like, fuck you. See you later. I'm off with my NASCAR friends now, yeah. Liz.
Come on, NASCAR.
You didn't want any part of this, but look at me with a NASCAR driver and all the Slim Jims I can eat.
He sort of smiles and walks off with him. Doesn't he? Bless him, Jason. Jason's like, I ain't getting involved in this dispute.
And Randy's like, can we drive around the car park?
Come on, Jason. Let's drive around the car park.
Can we do donuts?
Come on, Jason. Come show me the carburetor. To leave this bitch alone. Miss Elizabeth, desperately trying to get back into the Randy's good books. Bless her face. High Voltage in action next. They're taking on the Faces of Fear. Was it only me that thought that High Voltage looked like fake Mr. Perfect action figures?
Little bit, yeah. They look like the type of figures I'd get at like Poundland. Mm. Oh, sorry, Everything's a Pound. Oh, man, them other days.
Yeah, and Poundland isn't Poundland anymore.
No, Everything's a Pound was the best branded.
They have to rename it Land.
It's just... I get, you know, sell some shit that's a bit more, but have a whole aisle for that shit. Don't just pepper in like, oh, everything's a pound, you know, in here. And then, oh, yeah, okay, that shampoo, yeah, it's 15 quid. Mm. All right, cheers.
I think it's weird now because I remember going to Poundland to pick up some cleaning stuff thinking, oh, this would be cheaper than going to Tesco. And I went, yeah, actually, it's cheaper to go to Tesco.
If anybody high up in Poundland is listening to this miraculously
Keith
or knows
Poundland.
Anybody high up in Poundland, Keith Poundland, the one in Newcastle Central by Granger Market really needs fucking security. Like, the last three times I've been in there, there's just been some poor old bloke who's, like, working the till, and he's fucked because he's been in all day, and he's knackered, and I'm just calling in to be like, oh, what a big bottle of Pepsi! So I'll go in and buy some shit for the cupboards. But there's always, like, some fucking, like, just some absolute reprobate trying to steal something or pick a fight with him. But, like, in such a way where if you're going to nick something, just nick it and fuck off, right?
Yeah.
But, like, and police don't really... They're not going to be able to get there quick enough. But like, if you're going to steal something, just steal something and leave. Don't pick a fight with the old guy who's trying to go, hey, don't so blatantly steal shit. Put that back. And then he starts swinging for him. And then everybody sort of stood around going like, well, I don't really want to intervene. The guy could have a knife and he looks really aggy. And then the guy will just be having to go one-on-one with some fucking mentalist who's like angry as fuck at the fact he can't just take the entire rack of things he wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want that person to get all the help they need and to not be so angry that they're attacking Poundland staff. And I want the Poundland guy to not have to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Because like, he's already working in a fucking Poundland. He shouldn't be having to fight guys like half his age for fucking...
I think wherever you work, you deserve the right to not have to fight to work there.
It's just like, ah, oh, man. It like broke my heart. I was just like, it's fucking just, if you're going to steal, just steal and get out.
I just find around Christmas time, like I make sure to be extra nice to service staff because I know this is a, because I've been shit, on the other side
of it. I've been on retail.
You have as well, haven't you?
It's fucking wank.
We've been, if you're listening to this, right, and you are, if you're working in the service industry, you're often maybe going to work in a supermarket or a store or a shop for the day.
Or if you're in the next sale.
Yeah, or, if you know, working HMV, that was always one at Christmas. Mm. If you're one of those and you listen to this, from Sam and I, and as a Cultaholic, thank you, and we appreciate you.
And from Tom, but not Cultaholic Ventures Limited, you're allowed to punch one customer in the face.
I'm all right with that.
Tom takes full responsibility for that, not Cultaholic.
Please tell them that it was from me.
Tom Campbell.
I'm honestly of the belief...
If you send an email to the company, we will send you his address for serving legal papers. Mm-hmm. We've got no problem with that.
But you know what? I'm fine with that. I'll tell you why. Because the people listening to us are good people. And if they feel the urge to punch somebody, chances are that person deserved it.
What if they want to punch them Taipei deathmatch style?
Again, I believe that they deserve it.
I think if you've gone to the effort to have an industrial drum of PVA glue... next to you, so you can dip your whole hand in it. You kind of.
But I would, if someone's being a dick, then you're justified. I'm not advocating for punching strangers because of reasons. Like
I'd always get arsey wankers face to face, but like I never had it as bad as when I was on the phones for a very brief spell before I started at What Culture. Around Christmas. It was just fucking assholes, and I was working for an energy company, and it felt shit anyway. Because you got like old people ringing you up; they can't afford their bills, and I'm like, I'm sorry, like I don't control the price of it, and I'm trying to fucking help, and it's just breaking your heart every phone call. And then some fucker will ring you up, being like, "Why is my electricity bill £2,000?" And it's like, okay, well, we've sent my meter's broken. We've sent somebody out to look at your meter; it's not broken. And you've used that much power.
Because you've used £2,000 worth of electricity.
You've given us a fucking read. And you've called me a cunt 4 times. So, like, I can cancel this call anytime I like. Like, just fucking, just let me help you. Let me help you.
It's always interesting how, and in most circumstances, when something like that happens, like, people think, I'm just going to be really rude and abrasive. That will definitely get me what I need.
I think, like, one shift on phones would change so many people's opinion about, like, how they handle talking to people down the phone, because it is like, it's mental how many little keyboard warrior types you get down the phone where it's like, I'm gonna take my business elsewhere. Then do so, go to Empower, they'll charge you double, see you later. Like, you still owe us that £2,000, mate. It's not going anywhere. Also, when you sit on the phone for that person who's called you a cunt 3-4 times, and then eventually they reveal that they bought a hot tub, and then the 5-6 seconds of silence when it dawns on them that that's how their hot tub gets hot and bubbly is electricity. That was like just.
This sounds like a real story.
That was a spicy pizza. That shit. That was one of my favorite.
What was the first thing they said?
Well, they just went off on me. It was always the meter's fault or whatever. And it's like, we've sent a team out. We can send another one, but it's going to cost you £90 because we've already sent a team out. And they've said it's fine. Nobody's tampered with it. Nobody's nicked anything. Like, you have used this much power. And then you sit on the call with them after, you know, they're calling you left, right, and center, like whatever the fuck they want. But you're trying to help because the longer you're on the call, the less random calls you got to take. Mm-hmm. So the longer you can just meet your shift out. So I'm sitting there just taking like random bits of abuse here and there. And then just being like, well, did you buy any new appliances, a new fridge, a new washing machine, a new TV? Can you try turning everything off, turn the TV on, look at your meter? Let's just do a double check that the meter's still working. And so you just waste as much time as possible on the call. Because fuck, if I can make this last an hour, I get to go straight home afterwards. But yeah, eventually it got to the point where it was like, well, have you bought anything like recently, any big purchases? And it was like, well, yeah, we got a hot tub. And I was like, just silence. And I was like, okay, and like, how do you power the hot tub? And then it was like complete 180. It was like, well, do you take credit card? And it was like, yes, we fucking do. And then you just hear him shout at his wife, like,
turn it off,
Sandra. Like, went fucking mental. But like, it was, yeah, man, like, fuck working retail at this time of year. It's just because nobody's got money, everybody's stressed, and it just heightens everything.
Yeah, it is. So if you're one of those, thank you, and we appreciate you.
Also, bring me my shit.
It's undermined.
I get
everything we've just said. Bring a shit, you cowards.
Just a quick tip, if you go to a restaurant, you just do this.
I find, yeah.
Like, oi, that gets you such good service. Mm. You should all try it out.
And also, also, if you don't want to wait in the queue, just jump to the front.
Yeah, just move past people.
Wait,
pretend you're Dutch.
Stand next to a till with no one on it. Chances are somebody will come over and serve you.
Yeah, well, if you keep tutting loudly, that used to happen at the cinema. People would just tut loudly, and it's like, yeah, the queue's here, love, is 13 people deep now. It was 4 people deep when you stood over there first time. See you later.
Yeah.
I just want revels, then join the fucking queue.
And also, if you've seen something cheaper in another store, just go to the front and tell them, and they'll definitely discount it for you.
Yeah, make sure that you like have a photo of it and just keep shoving it in your face as hard as you can. Yeah. Like, so it's like this, just like.
And if the photo says like exclusive online offer, then all the more reason to do it.
Yeah, you go, well, I'm online. Look, I'm in a line right now. While there's like 15 people behind you.
I remember working at HMV. We'll get back to Nitro in a minute. I remember working at HMV, like just as like the internet was becoming a thing, and people were downloading music from iTunes and stuff like that. And this guy came in and he wanted a song. I wish I could remember the song. And I said, we don't have it. It's a single from like the 2000s. We can't order the single. Yeah. I found a compilation album that it's on.
Yeah.
We'd have to order it in. It'll take about 10 days.
And you got
to
pay a premium.
$17.99, but that song is on it. And I said, the alternative is, if you go on the internet, he went, I'm going to stop you there. I don't do any of that internet nonsense. None of that internet nonsense. I said, but it'll be 79p and you can have it now. None of that internet nonsense. Don't even have a phone. I was like, okay, so that'll be $17.99, please. We'll call you in 10 days.
I have one friend who's still like that.
Wow.
Phil, bless him, is like a Luddite by choice.
I admire
it. He gives zero fucks about digital world. He wants physical media. He has a burner phone. He looks like a drug dealer whenever we're at the pub. It's amazing. He has like an Alcatel burner phone. Like he just could not give less of a shit about the internet.
Wow.
Like, and it amazes me, man. Like, I'm like, in some ways, it's sort of like, fucking hell, like, how do you, like, get by in this day and age without, like, having, because there's so many things require you to have internet stuff now, right? And apps. And he's just like, nope, like, I'll find a fucking way. And he just does it, man. I respect him for it.
I respect him. I also respect the Face of Fear, who jump high voltage from the beginning of wrestling. This tag match. The Horsemen watch from the aisle because Benoit and Mongo are going to be facing the Faces of Fear on Halloween Slim Jim Halloween Havoc.
No way.
Why not? That'll be a thing. Anyway, Foph wins with a slingshot big boot combo. Very uninspiring
match. Look at the extension on Haku's legs.
You called him Haku.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think he called him Haku.
You got a strong letter coming your way.
Oh,
I don't.
Shit.
That's it. You got the legal
don't
letter.
Don't sue me, Vince.
Oh, no.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Up next, here comes Mike Wenner.
Mike Wiener, my favorite wrestler now.
Now, this is a Mike Wiener. Former tag team, formerly in a tag team called Men at Work.
Which is also great in and of itself. But we've got Anus, we've got Dick, and now we've got Wiener. We need to make this happen.
Come on.
We need to make it happen.
What? Okay, make the team happen.
A team happen. We've got anus, dick, and wiener. There's something we can do with the fact we've got one anus and two dick, or a dick and a wiener.
Los Falos Incongruenables.
Done. Brackets plus an anus.
We could call them Susan Album Party. We'll call them Sue's Album Party. Hashtag Sue's Album Party. Is it Sue's an Album Party? So this is the... Okay, I'll have to explain this very regionalised gag. So Susan Boyle, who won Britain's Got Talent that time, released an album, and her media people tried to get trending hashtag Susan Album Party, as if to go, if you're listening to the album, tell us where you're listening. Hashtag Susan Album Party. The problem is, when you put all those words together, as you do with the hashtag, it looks like Sue Anal Bum Party.
Sue's Anal Bum Party.
And it took on a very different life of its own.
I remember seeing it trending, and I didn't read it as Sue's Album Party. I read it as Susan's Album Party. It was just fucking. It immediately went to the bad place.
Yeah. I had to write it down just to check. Yes, hashtag Susan Album Party, which is Sue's Anal Bum Party.
Yeah. My brain went straight to that.
Everyone's brains went straight. So do not feel alone. Everyone's brain. So that's what we're going to call the faction. We're going to call them hashtag Susan Album Party.
Susan Album Party. We need to add more people to it.
Wiener, dick, anus.
We need somebody with like a, I don't know.
Cock!
Yeah, there's got to be a... There's got to be...
Call them the Cock and Bum Express. If
the Cock and Bum Connection.
The Cock and Bum Connection.
Well, the fact we've got a wiener, a dick, and one anus, it could be like you'd have a really long name. Like, they couldn't possibly fit in there. Two at a time? Are you mad?
Could you call them prostate of emergency?
Oh, fuck yeah. That's the one.
Prostate of emergency.
Prostate of emergency.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Do you know what? For Christmas, at classic@cultaholic.com. Your suggestions for what we call the team of Mike Wiener, Dick Slater, and Mike Anus. We'll read the best ones out before Christmas. Because that's what Santa would have wanted.
Back before he lost to Mean Gene. Now he's just not been able to show himself.
Mike Wiener, formerly in a tag team called Men at Work with Chris Kanyon.
Nice!
Wiener's last win in a WCW ring was a match against The Gambler in April. So lots to prove against his opponent tonight. It's Glacier. Oh, he's fucked. He's fucked.
Yeah, this match has been choreographed down to the breaths.
Oh,
so there's no way Mr. Wiener's getting any form of victory here.
I'm not one to doom scroll here, but... less snow for Glacier this week. Are we giving up on him already?
I felt like there was more snow for Glacier this week.
No, because previous weeks, like, there's been snow on the entrance ramp.
Right.
This time it was very isolated snow.
It could just be that the catwalk is only over the center part of the arena.
Because, possibly.
Yeah, so like it depends, I guess, on the setup of the arena.
Very possibly. I may have it wrong there. He seems to take a lot longer getting into the ring.
Mm.
And spent a long time doing his poses.
Yeah.
In the center of the ring.
And he bows to the referee and everything this time. And he puts his fist behind his hand, which Larry Zbysko tells us is something.
He's about to fist Wiener. Wiener gets a boot through the ropes.
And then he goes all floppy, and that's it.
Yeah, he flops through the ropes, does Wiener. And now, before this happens, we get a little bit of stuff in the ring.
Yeah.
To which you can very, very clearly hear people chanting boring.
There's like one group of pissed lads definitely just go boring like that over and over again.
You'd be living
a couple of minutes. Like it's in fairness, it's correct, right? It's not to be Jim Cornette, but it's making a mockery of fucking wrestling. Having a guy in there doing fucking, and I get it, you know, you can make martial arts fit into wrestling. You can, that's possible. But having a guy just go out there and beat jobbers every fucking week while doing the same five fucking moves in the same five move order and then pose in for a minute and a half afterwards, it's after three, four, six, a year's worth of build. Like, it, I wanted Glacier to come out and rip someone's fucking spine out their anus and beat them to death with it. Like, what? And then you got him in a promo going, stay cool. I went to Japan to learn all of the martial arts, and I found a master. Like, it's like, what? You've dropped the ball so fucking hard on this, man. You've not given him a chance. You've not given him a chance.
In his defense, he does spice it up a bit because he boots Wiener through the ropes and then lands a dive over the top rope, which he hasn't done before. Nice springboard dive over the rope. Gets back, and then he rolls him back into the ring, rolls into the ring himself, and then hits that lovely spin kick. One, two, three. Thank you very much.
But it's not over yet because, oh God, no. Look, we're 48 seconds away from the halfway point, and that means fireworks.
So what happens is, you're very polite with the 40 seconds because he starts doing his poses post-match and then the timer appears. So he does them for longer. I think it's about 90 seconds.
Fuck me.
That he's doing the poses.
No way.
It's about 90 seconds.
So he just stands there and fucking poses as the little stick of dynamite. The fuse gets shorter, and then ba-boom, all the fireworks go off. Away goes Glacier's light and smoke and fucking snow, and he doesn't melt.
We thought there might be a puddle in the ring.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Dog shit.
Dog shit.
Can't even sell toys of him. You've ruined him that badly. You've ruined him that badly. He's not going to be able to wrestle again until like 2019, I bet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff welcomes us to hour two of Monday Nitro. He says that Jeff Jarrett is up in a moment. He's joined the NWO.
But there's not really been any NWO interference tonight. Oh, well, except for that huge bit of NWO interference, but there's not been any more.
Exactly. Hugh Morris comes out. And then here comes Jeff Jarrett to make his big WCW return.
Yes.
And he has very generic country music, which I'm pretty sure I've heard somebody else use before.
It sounds like the exact type of music that they would just add lyrics to for Rap is Crap.
Yes, it does sound very Rap is Crap. It's certainly music they've heard before. Look who's here, baby, says Jeff Jarrett as he walks to the ring. Now, the commentary on this match is Eric Bischoff is adamant that Jeff Jarrett is in the NWO.
Yeah.
So the match is Eric's putting him over, Eric's like, he's a piece of shit because he joined the NWO.
In spite of the fact that Eric's also like, yeah, well, we had a conversation a few months ago and he wants to show what he can do here and he wants a chance at WCW. So yeah, but he's an NWO fucker.
Yeah.
And it's like,
really weird.
What? It's like Eric's just sort of like,
At one point he says he's conned his way onto Nitro. I'm like, mate, it's your show.
You just said that you've given him a shot.
Weird. Jarrett starts strong. Morris overpowers him, though. We see Jeff push back as, again, the commentators run him down for joining the NWO, but we've had no confirmation that he has.
Yeah.
End comes with Jeff dodging a diving leg drop off the top. He locks in the figure four and gets the tap out win. A lot of comparisons with Jeff's style and Ric Flair's.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of thought about the idea of Jeff maybe joining the Horseman. That was something we talked about in previous episodes.
Using the same finisher, strutting around the ring.
Kind of making him a Flair-esque. But mind you, he's been doing this sort of stuff years before.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter at all. But he's not only doing the Flair strut, he's also kind of doing this with his fingers, which means he could have allegiances to Hogan as he's doing the barber.
So he's doing strutting the scissors.
And cutting.
He's basically giving
us
a bit of a
definitely what he's doing.
Cut.
It's not guns. It's not supposed to be guns. It's just him going, I'm going to cut your hair. I'm Ric Flair and I cut hair.
He's a double barber.
I've got long blonde hair. Ric Flair doesn't have long blonde hair anymore.
Tony Schiavone.
Because I cut it. I'm the real Ric Flair.
Just start calling me Ric Flair now. Tony Schiavone starts chatting. Dick Flair. He can join the group. He can join Prostate of Emergency if he calls himself Dick Flair.
He could.
Welcome in.
To be honest, yeah, Ric Flair could. His name is Richard.
Richard.
But then do you really want Space Mountain getting in there? It'll hog all the glory.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I don't think Mike Anus is going to get any action if Ric Flair's.
No, Mike Anus is going to get all the action. It's the other two that aren't. Flair would only be on a team with Anus.
Tony Schiavone is chatting to Jeff Jarrett and asks him, why have you joined the NWO, you prick? To which Jeff calls out Hogan and talks about how Hogan made comments about he built the business and says the fact, hang on, my daddy My daddy started the business.
Was a promoter.
Was a promoter. He talks about all the other promoters from back in the day and says there's no way that Hogan did that. He then tells Hogan and the NWO to stick it.
He does.
To which Eric Bischoff says, I feel a little bit better about life right now.
Should be feeling embarrassed, Eric, is what you're doing.
What I love is Eric Bischoff, right, who absolutely shat on Sting to the point where Sting went, fuck you lot, I'm gone. And they went, oh, I'm really sorry.
Bischoff just, isn't Sting just a complete fucking... I bet you Sting's like probably like a murderer. I bet Sting would just burn down like an office building and lock the doors, right? I bet he's probably going to do that at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if he's maybe done it 5-6 times and then he wonders why Sting's pissed off.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, I'm really sorry what I said about Sting. That was my error. And then Jeff Jarrett's come in, possibly a new alliance.
God, what a piece of shit.
God,
Jeff Jarrett
is a piece of shit, isn't he?
I bet he's a piece of shit. Look at him. Such a piece of shit. Oh no, he's not.
Eric,
sorry, we'll put your face on a NASCAR next week.
Didn't even say sorry. He just went, oh, that's fine then. Eric, mate, you're making your own problems. Annoying. Buy the shirt! NWO t-shirt commercial comes up next. We don't get any announcements paid for by the New World Order apart from that.
Not anymore.
Thank fuck. Arn Anderson in action next. He's fighting Lex Luger at Halloween Havoc.
Mm.
They're off to Vegas soon.
They are. They're off to Vegas. And Mike Tenay mentions that he likes sometimes going to the sports book. And then Bobby kind of mentions that maybe they should find somewhere little bit further out of the city, if you know what he means. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
So Mike Tenay is up for the gambling, and Bobby's up for the prostitutes.
Yeah.
Good lads. Good lads.
What a weekend.
Yeah, what a lovely weekend off. Arn is fighting Lex at Halloween Havoc, and this is because Lex failed them at War Games by not predicting the fact that there'd be a fake Sting or something. I don't know. It's all a bit clumsy now. 1 year ago, Arn Anderson lost the TV title in record time to Renegade.
He did.
So let's see if we can right some wrongs here. We get an Aloha Arn. Thank you, OSW review. In the wild, no less, before Arn slows it down and puts a headlock onto Renegade. Very slow wear down of Renegade by Arn until Renegade counters a Vader bomb attempt. Flurry of offense by Renegade. We get some Muta springboard attacks. They're lovely.
That's quite nice. Spinning back elbow.
But Arn counters the second, and holy shit, right? I had no idea how fucking over like Rover Arn's DDT truly was.
Yeah.
Because he blocks it, the crowd go wild, DDT chants start.
Yeah.
Immediately. And Arn goes, give the people what they want.
Wha-pow! Like, snap.
Biggest it's pop of the night was for that fucking DDT.
He's so explosive, man.
He's so good. Big pop, three count. Thank you very much, Renegade.
Now, Renegade, right? We've had a bit of a shit start with Renegade because he's been brought in as the Ultimate Warrior, even though he's not the Ultimate Warrior. Fans immediately reject him because he's not the Ultimate Warrior, even though he's been promised to be the Ultimate Warrior. And he looks just like the Ultimate Warrior and he's dressed like him, does the same moves and everything. But he's got a big R painted on his face. WCW was way over in the UK. And I think you could have used that to your advantage to make Renegade a bigger star by partnering up with another company. Now, we know that they like Slim Jim. We know that, you know, that's been brought in Randy Savage. We've got NASCAR partnerships. We've got all sorts of shit going on the American side. Didn't ever feel like there were any partnerships on the UK side of things. And I think Renegade could have been that star, could have eclipsed Ultimate Warrior if you partnered him up with Rennie's. If you made him Renegade. And if you had him in the advert, instead of like when you eat Rennie's and they turn it, it's like the Gaviscon advert where you get the little men, right? So you chew on a Rennie's and then like loads of little Renegades pop up inside your stomach and start beating the shit out of all the acids.
So if you're not familiar, a Rennie is something you eat for gastro discomforts.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, I've eaten too much.
Indigestion, diarrhea.
Indigestion.
You know, if you stomach acid, have a Rennie. Indigestion, have a Rennie.
Yeah.
You know, light constipation, have a
Rennie. It's like a chewable pink goop, whatever the pink goop is, Americans.
Well, there's
have.
Chewy ones and there's chalky ones.
Yeah.
So there's chewy ones which are far more palatable. And then it's like eating chalk.
All I know is I had a mate who got really bad heartburn whenever he drank. But so heartburn, he would go through Rennies like they were fruit pastels. And like after like 2-3 months of uni, he was just like, yeah, this don't work anymore. And
was he's not just shitting himself?
He just like nullified the effects of it for him forever. So like Rennie's just don't work with him. Like he can't use any of that shit anymore.
Because his body's learned how to combat them.
Well, it's
gone, fuck them.
It's just sort of like impossible to make it work. But I think Renegade could have been the Renegade.
The Renegade?
We could have put him in like pink gear. and it would have made an absolute bank. I want to see shots of him running down somebody's throat like little renegades. Like just, and you've got like little acid monsters and he's just like, and then they're all like trying to attack somebody's heart and it's all like getting too hot and the heart's got a face and it's like, oh, it's so warm in here. I'm burning up. And then Rennie comes in and he's just sort of like huge hose and he's just like blowing away all of the acid monsters.
Look up the Gaviscon advert from the UK to get an idea of where Sam's head
Gaviscon's
at.
Gaviscon's got like little firemen that run down your throat. I'm not joking.
That's true.
They're little, like, was it? It's the Gaviscon advert. They're like white or pink.
They're white, and little it's this white fluid flowing down your throat.
A white fluid flowing down your throat that turns into little men carrying a big hose, and then it sprays all over the inside of your stomach.
It's fucking sperm, isn't it? I've just realised Gaviscon is sperm. Fucking hell.
But I think the Renegade could have been a big deal.
Okay, so Renegade could feud with Jim Duggaroni Pizza.
Yeah.
Spicy Pizza.
And
that's
Macho
cool.
Man. You know, Slim, spiced and salted meat.
Spiced, salted meat. That's going to be shit for the heart. That
you know,
is,
Hulk Hogan had Pasta Mania. Bring that back.
Oh, they could have a match in Pasta Mania.
Yeah, and Renegade's just like getting overwhelmed by the carbs. And then like he turns into loads of little Renegades. And then they all win.
I mean, I'm all in. Sam Driver, you've done it again. Here's a bag of money.
Somebody give me a marketing agency right now.
Do you know what? I'm only sad that we recorded the Christmas special last week because I would have quite happily added Renegade into the cavalcade of complete dross that we recorded last week for your delectation on Christmas Day.
Yeah, get ready for that. It's fucking Jesus Christ.
Should have had Renegade in it. Well, thanks. So, unlucky Renegade, but on the plus side, you have a very lucrative marketing career in your future. Less interesting, not one of these wrestlers could help your stomach acid. It's Lex Luger versus Dave Taylor.
And Dave Taylor beats the shit out of Jeeves.
Oh, what's that?
He like, gives him a kick, he gives him a shove, and he eventually boots him so hard up the arse, Jeeves falls over.
Jeeves had a little bit of a revolt. Yeah. Did you see? So Jeeves was being like kicked down the ramp, and he turns to face Dave Taylor. He's got a little flag in his hand, throws the flag on the ground. And that's when he gets booted. And
he deserves it, yeah. You don't throw the flag down.
How dare you?
Rock, flag, and eagle, baby. That's what Britain's all about.
I believe this is how Les Mis started, though. With what happened to Jeeves.
So Jeeves, if that flag so much as fucking touches the floor, you don't want to fucking know, mate.
The monarchy will fall. The empire
There's
will
There's a
crumble.
Long, dark history involved with this corner of the world.
To me, the empire is perfectly reasonable. We were fine. It wasn't hostile. Luger walked to the back. Oh, God, we missed a bit from the bloody Renegade thing, didn't
oh,
we?
Oh, God.
So after the match, Arn, obviously having his own stomach indigestion.
Of course.
He turns Renegade upside down.
Fuck you, I'll eat as many cheeseburgers as I want. Yeah. Piece of shit.
Ah, my heart. Oh, if only someone had warned me. He's beating up Renegade in the Trio Woe, and then Lex Luger charges down to the ring and chews him off.
Now, I'm not too
choose
bothered.
Him off, not choose him off. I'm like, quick, I'm here. Oh, take your trousers off.
I'm not too bothered about the fact that Lex comes out here to make the save. I think it makes Lex look like a good guy,
good
right?
Good guy.
So what happens next?
Lex walks to the back, only to walk back out again.
And he gets a fucking pop. He gets two pops. Fair play.
Lex love is real.
Will you just put him on... Just move the matches around.
Two dinners. Get your Renegade.
For none, Eric.
For none. He's going to need Renegade for them. For none. Luger has, as well as Luger getting two entrances, whilst he's wrestling, we have an interview with Luger in the corner. It is Luger Nitro this week. Luger does a little picture in picture. He says, I've got two messages to send out tonight. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, steady on. Steve Regal, you've got my TV title and I want it back. But since you're so scarce, I'm going to take it out on Dave Taylor. I believe that's happening as Dave is kicking the shit out of Luger, which makes it even funnier. Arn Anderson, you've been huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf, blaming all your problems on me. You've got the chance at Halloween Havoc. I'm coming at you full throttle. I'm going to take you out and I'm going to hurt you. So that suggests they're going to go on a date, which is going to dump him at the end. I'm going to take you out and I'm going to hurt you. Or they're going to go to like
treat
Nando's.
To a lovely time.
They're going to go to Nando's. He's going to stand up and go, look how ugly my date is.
And then walk out without paying the bill.
I'm going to take you out and I'm going to hurt you. Don't worry, because Renegade's nearby, just in case. Well done, lad. Where is Steve Regal? Well, I could tell you.
Is he injured?
No. He is doing his fantastic European tour with the TV title.
Of course.
He was facing Robbie Brookside last week. This week, he's facing Tony St. Clair in Otto Wanz's German promotion.
The Catch Wrestling Federation?
Catch Wrestling. Yeah. He's putting the TV title on there. So he's doing a lovely little tour of the European continent.
Nice.
With the TV title.
Polishing up the style, come back. I want to see a load of like just people getting obliterated with weird holds.
I think there's an opportunity for AEW to do that with the international title.
I think there is. And I don't think they'll do it.
No, of course not. They've got too many other things to worry
about.
There's
15 more people to sign next week.
It's getting full. It's getting
full. What we need is a faction. Something that changes the order of the current state of the world in AEW.
Now we've got
Ric Flair, but we don't have Hulk Hogan. He wants one more match.
Love it. If Tony Khan.
I would love it. Hulk I would love Hogan. It if you signed Hogan.
I'd just be like, you know what? You know you're a bin fire. That's fantastic. Lean into it, baby. Look,
I like AEW. I just think I
really want to like AEW more.
It feels like you sat at the side of the road and you've got a load of things passing that you need to keep track of, but they're all moving in different directions all at once. And then all of a sudden, all of the things you were supposed to be looking at disappear. And then just like a random parade happens. And it's like, so is the parade part of it? Is this new? Is this going to factor in? Like, what the fuck? And then, like, one of the cars shows back up and it's like, okay, you've not been driving past for 4 months. Okay, what are we doing with this? What's Ring of Honor? How is this tying into...
I feel like I get punished, and maybe you're the same, for not paying absolute attention to every single thing that happens on the TV shows and on the internet.
Yeah, the thing is, like, for the last 2 years, I've been so fucking balls deep in Golden Age stuff. Like, I get maybe 2 hours to watch wrestling a week without it just being highlights or double speed shows, right? Mm. So, like, for me, it's like, I only catch AEW when it's, like, must see weeks. And it just, even staying on top of it, it's sort of like, I'm watching highlights, I still just kind of, it feels like kind of, like, it's just, very splintered.
Yes.
And you need to literally, as you say, like stay on top of all of these fragments when it should just be a direct line and maybe not so many shows and maybe more condensed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you feel punished for not being able to keep up with it, which is a shame.
It's like you gotta pause Dynamite to go, shit, I can quickly read up what happened on this. Okay, right, sweet. Okay, done. Okay, now I can carry on with the match and then what are you doing here? Okay, let's go back and have a look.
The one big defense of WWE is that they're really good at keeping you on track with what's happening.
Yeah.
It's more streamlined.
It's like, don't get me wrong, it's fucking irritating having Michael Cole go, and of course 3 weeks ago this happened, and then that happened, and then this happened, and of course this happened, and then that happened. Using all the fucking buzzwords, hitting all the fucking sponsor lines, and using everybody's fucking nicknames, and he's saying the finisher names 5 million times, and having cute little nicknames like Shin for Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, I don't like it, but I like it because it just fucking tells you. If you need it, you can tune into what he's saying. If not, whack the Spanish back on and you can just have a good time. I'm telling you, it's the secret. Watch the Spanish commentary version on a pay-per-view.
Wow.
You just don't have to listen to it. You don't have to listen to the constant plugs because I don't understand Spanish. It's just like, oh, I can just focus on the fucking match.
I can just enjoy the wrestling.
Oh, this one's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, everybody. Yeah.
I love it, guys. Anyway, Lex Cinema Toast crunches Dave with a forearm and then dodges a top rope nothing from Dave Taylor.
Yeah.
In the rack he goes, tap out, job done. He's heading to the back, all happy, and he is attacked by Arn Anderson with a steel chair.
Fuck's sake, Arn.
For chewing him up earlier. Arn clatters him with a steel
chair.
I'll
show you, Lex Luger.
If that is your real name. We'll see you both at Slim Jim Halloween Havoc. Up next, did you love Chris Benoit versus Rick Steiner from last week?
Oh, it was the best.
Duh, then you are in for a treat, young man, because we're getting in again.
Wow, now, where do they get this stuff? Says the kid from the magazine.
That's a spicy pizza. We were meant to get Chris Benoit versus Scott Steiner because we're getting a mini feud between the Steiners and the Horsemen because of reasons.
Scott Steiner turned up this week in a leather jacket, so fuck off. You got Rick instead.
He's got leather jacket fever, so he's poorly. He can't wrestle. It's such a tight leather jacket, he can't get it off.
Leather jacket and a leather Kangol. This is a slow build toward what we all fucking want.
Yeah, we're not quite at the big bad.
I couldn't give a shit. I know we got Goldberg coming in the next year. I know. We've got all that, but I just give me Scott Steiner. Give me the real Scott Steiner.
I want the old Scott Steiner.
I want Big Papa Pump, and I want it so badly because it's just bewilderingly fucking insane.
He's mad.
It's the best. It's the absolute peak.
And it takes so long for them to put the world title on him, but we'll get there.
And he gets a fucking tiger, man.
Of course he does.
And he gets to just boss Buff Bagwell around whenever he wants.
Come out and go, hey,
come out and
this
rant for 10 minutes
shit
and call Ric Flair a prick and then say he stole all of his shit from Buddy Rogers and then spit on the ground and then give me a fucking mic and then dance with some women and then he walks to the back. And it's like...
Mentalist Scott Steiner.
It's like, you know, as much as we're saying about AEW being kind of hard to follow, it's not there yet.
No.
When we get to this point, if we get to Scott Steiner, like...
How exciting to
the
get
rise
there
of Scott Steiner point for AEW, that's when we've got to start kind of going, Tony, turn the boat around.
If Powerhouse Hobbs can blow a gasket and just become that Scott Steiner and just go, I want a tiger! You got it, Hobbs. Want the world title? Yep, sure.
What the
this
fuck
place
do we do?
Shit, bye!
What the fuck do we do? He wants a tiger. You get him a tiger.
Get him a tiger. And then there's Tony Gorilla going, Hobbs. Love you really, Tony. Love you really. So Scott's injured, so we're getting Rick and Chris once again. Mongo and Deborah are flanking Benoit for this one, and Rick is doing a number on Chris at the very beginning. Benoit comes into control after the break, and as we come back from the break, a limo arrives. Is it Jeff Jarrett again?
No, this one handily you can tell it isn't because the license plate that definitely isn't made of tape says NWO on it.
Oh, that means that the National Water Organization are here. It's not. It's Hollywood Hogan and the Giant. Hogan's got some business to deal with. As that happens, Benoit chops Rick Steiner so hard that his headgear comes off. Fuck it out, mate. It's pretend. Calm the fuck down. He gets a dive at headbutt, but only a two off it. He goes for something else off top. He gets an overhead belly to belly for his trouble, does old Benoit. Rick follows up with a top rope bulldog, only gets a two, and we get a wham double down from a clothesline. Mongo goes to pass Chris Benoit his briefcase to use it as a weapon. Scott Steiner's like, oi, prick.
While Nick Patrick is being distracted by woman,
Mongo goes to hit Scott Steiner. I'm going to hit you, Scott Steiner. Here I go.
I was in the NFL.
He was in the NFL.
That was it. Deborah, not woman on the outside.
They both said it. It's fine. I know what you meant. I'm in the NFL. He holds up his case like he's about to throw a ball in the NFL. And he holds it there for a while. Here I come. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you.
Rick, can you grab this fucking case?
Oh, it's Rick Steiner. He's grabbed the Halliburton from Mongo. Who saw that coming?
And then Steiner nails Benoit with it. And Nick Patrick and Deborah, not woman, Nick Patrick and Deborah are kind of still going, still getting distracted. And then just as Deborah drops down, because it's all gone wrong, Rick Steiner throws the Halliburton directly in front of Nick Patrick to the point where Nick Patrick goes, what the fuck was that? And then looks and still counts the pin. It's like it was supposed to maybe go out a different side, or Nick wasn't supposed to be turning around, and it was sort of very like, oh, shit.
Thank goodness that WWE have this continuity that some people are secretly working for the NWO.
Yeah,
because
right.
It means all these little bloopers can just be, oh, that's part of the story.
It's just NWO business.
Sort of it is, isn't it? Yeah. This match was better than their one last week.
Yeah.
Far more fire in it than the one last week for whatever reason.
And we had Scott with a leather jacket on, no t-shirt underneath.
It was a strong fucking look.
It's a no-brainer. Just don't even do the match. Just put him in the ring. Give him a mic. Give him a fucking mic. Let him go off.
That's what you need.
Give him a goatee, bleach his hair, get him some freaks, get him some weights, bring him Triple H.
They'll have some bangers, I'm sure. Now, last couple of weeks, they have WCW have very much pulled the rug over our eyes, pulled the wool over our legs.
But nobody and, more so than the live audience.
No more than the live audience, because they've been promised Ric Flair, they've been promised Randy Savage, and got neither. But they are fixing it tonight with our main event for the US title. Ric Flair puts it up against Randy Savage. Sam, I completely forgot that Ric Flair was the United States champion.
Yeah.
That completely slipped my mind.
There's a lot going on right now in the world of WCW.
But don't worry, they're fixing it, because that's our main event tonight. It's Flair and Savage for the US title. Backstage, the Nasty Boys are given some NWO paperwork and are being asked to watch Hogan's back. We then cut to another part of the arena as Ric Flair's music is playing.
Yep.
No Flair, but Ric Flair is he's on the ground.
Okay, he's getting up though. Is he doing some stretches?
No. Well, he's being stretched by the NWO.
Oh no, because Virgil's even there mouthing off at the camera.
Vincent has the United States title of Ric Flair's as Flair gets the fuck kicked out of him. Here comes the Giant, who Giant then has the US title, and then Liz comes over to try and, you know, cool things down, because I'm sure that's going to work fine. Giant stalks Liz through the backstage area. Flair's
Liz is
done.
Doing a good job to walk backwards, by the way.
Like, I'd have fallen on
the entire
arse.
Way. I'd have gone a fucking arse over tit.
All the way into the arena, and then that's where Savage, who is in the ring already, jumps in front of her with a chair.
Yeah.
And looks like he's going to pummel the Giant with a chair, but then there's fucking Hulk Hogan!
You should have just pummeled the Giant. He shouldn't have waited. He should have just gone, wah-bah, right round the temple. Would not have been front on with the chair, side on. Get real tight, small bit of like space. Think of all that force. You would have dropped him immediately.
Oh, it would have been great, wouldn't it? They beat up on Hogan beats up on Savage for a bit before instructing the Giant to pick up Savage and take him to the ring.
Yeah.
And holy fuckers, Giant is taking Savage into the ring.
Hogan just wraps his arm around Liz and he starts saying shit like, I own you.
Oh.
You're my property and shit like that.
Really grim.
Yeah.
Almost as grim as what happens to Savage as the Giant is taking him into the ring.
Fuck me.
So Giant's got Savage over his shoulder. He's carrying him like, carried like a babe beyond the barricade, up the ramp and up the stairs.
He's carrying Savage like he's Bam Bam Bigelow saving kids from a burning house.
Basically, yeah. Like Jim Duggaroni carrying a new order of cheese pizzas that Renegade is no doubt going to want a piece of sorting out.
Which is why he's got his big pizza paddle in the other hand, so he's only carrying them with one hand. So when Renegade pops up, he can just fucking
whack him with it. As he's walking up the steps, he loses his balance a little bit. Just fucking drop Savage from a great height.
So I watched it back about 11 times, not because it was funny, but...
it was funny.
But essentially, Giant is carrying Savage, and that's a lot of weight. Right? Like, that's a lot of fucking weight. And he's going step by step. So one foot on the right hand of the steps on the first step. Second step, foot goes on the left side of the steps. Gets up to the third step. Foot goes on the right hand of the steps rather than middle. Bit too far, bit too high up. And the point of balance shifts and the stairs just go boop underneath them. And then there's like a split second where Giant is still holding Savage in midair like, oh shit. And then Savage falls like flat on his fucking head into the fucking stairs as well. Giant goes right down over on his fucking hip. They then have to still get him in the ring as the crowd are all just like, way!
Fucking
so he picks Savage up, having already landed on his face, and then throws him over the top rope, except Savage's face nails the top rope.
And he just sort of just go flops through the middle rope. It's fucking, oh, it's embarrassing. Oh,
it's an accident though, man.
It's a simple accident, and I'm glad everybody came out of it okay. But it was a hilarious mess. So now he's in the ring, is Savage, and Giant goes to give him a choke slam, to which Hogan goes, no, don't. And then Hogan just fucking pops Savage, and then it's Giant holding Liz by the face. Like with his hands.
Sausage fingers just crossing her whole head.
Like making her watch as Hogan beats the shit out of Savage.
You look at your ex-husband and you think, you're my property now, Liz.
Yeah, and Hogan's just being a real grim boy here. He beats up Savage.
This is for taking my spot.
This is for just existing in a similar time frame to me.
Fuck you.
Leg drops aplenty. Liz, you're my property.
Yeah.
Debris is being thrown into the ring. The crowd aren't happy with this at all.
Yeah.
And then, differently to normal, instead of spraying NWO on his back or a yellow streak, they draw an outline in spray.
Like they would with chalk around a dead body.
Like a dead body.
Cop shows and that. Mm.
And then he writes, and then Hogan writes NWO rules on the canvas.
But he's not done. He's got to sign his piece of artwork.
He signs him off, doesn't he?
He signs HH on his back.
Gives him a little HH. Yeah. Nearly a triple
Only
H.
Only love.
But all that way you know it's his tweet.
And then down come the rest of the NWO.
They all come down to celebrate. Hogan is still declaring Liz his and says he owns her mind, body and soul. Based on what optics, though?
I'm assuming she signed the contract. But either way, my favourite bit of this is as the trash is starting to rain down even heavier, it's not just any trash. Oh my God, that's corporate sponsor level trash. Are those Slim Jims? Oh, they yes. are. Look at those tiny bite-sized Slim Jims just getting thrown into the ring. And look at Hogan just slapping him with them and saying, snap into a Slim Jim, over and over again.
The crowd got Slim Jims to know. Part of the deal.
Part of me likes to think it was just Nash and that just going,
I think there's some people that knew that you're going to hand the crowd Slim Jims and they're going to lob him in the ring.
Yeah.
And that's a nice bit of advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Get hit by a Slim Jim isn't going to do you too much damage.
Unless it hits you in the eye. Oh, the sharp corner of the foil just wow.
Slim Jim in the eye.
That's why Hogan's in the glasses.
Just keep protect his eyes from rogue Slim Jims. That's not even the end of the night, though, because Hogan, with everybody in the ring, is telling Savage to snap into a Slim Jim macho puke. And then Hogan goes, I think we should destroy the commentary's table as well. To which, from the fucking backstage area, here comes six vroom vroom in a fucking Hollywood Hogan monster truck.
So it's the same as the one he battled against the Giant with, except now it's not yellow and red. Now it's black and white with lightning on it, but it's still got big muscly arms.
Still big muscly arms. So he's out there. So destroy the commentary table. All the commentators fucking leg it. Six drives towards it and they pan out as if they're waiting for the monster truck to take the stage. But instead, Six just sits there revving the engine.
Rem, 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 hem, 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 hem. And then we awkwardly fade down.
As the show closes. So,
I should have just drove into it.
Should have. That would have been.
There's a couple of camera people. They would have got injury time off. Fine. You know?
It's all worth it.
Time Warner will pay to sit at home anyway soon enough.
Now, a few things on this. Ric Flair is off to have shoulder surgery, according to The Observer. So this was writing him off TV.
Right.
Basically getting a big old attack. It looks like he's off telly. Also at this point, Randy Savage hasn't signed a new contract with WCW.
Mm.
So there is a slim, brother, chance that he won't stick around after Halloween Havoc.
And go where? Vince doesn't want to use him as a wrestler.
Well, the optics have changed because obviously we're in a war now.
Right.
And I don't know whether... I know that... The idea of Savage going back has been floated.
It's tantalizing to see what, you know, an Attitude Era Macho Man could look like.
Oh, that would have been great, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Having him in the mix. But again, like, Vince is so weird about age. Mm. But I think I think Savage has always had to go away and prove, actually, I've still got loads of years
I can
on the
still
clock.
Hit an elbow drop.
Yeah.
I can still wear a cowboy hat. Fuck you, Vince.
So that's been floated. But yet, the return of the Hulk Hogan monster truck, and Sam Driver is on the money. This is the custom Ford monster truck run by Bigfoot 4x4, the one that Hogan used at the top of Cobo Hall in that sumo monster truck fight. It's been repainted to share his new NWO colors. If you ever wanted the experience of driving the Hulk Hogan monster truck, mm-hmm. NWO style, whilst you can't do it in real person unless you're very much in with either Medusa or the monster truck world... It is a playable vehicle in Monster Truck Madness 2 on the N64 and the PlayStation.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
It has hilarious stats as well in the game. So its owner is listed as the New World Order. The engine is a 560 CI Python.
Okay.
Brother. Transmission is Hulkamatic 5-speed.
How many horse brothers does it have?
It doesn't have horse brothers, sadly. It only has Hulkamatic 5-speed. the tires are Fearstone Pile Drivers. The shocks are Armstrong Superflex.
Okay.
And the axles are BA DAS, which spells anus. it spells
bead ass, yes.
BA, which spells Susan Album Party. But you can play as a monster truck, and there's some playable bits online if you ever get bored and you want to see like the NWO monster truck in Monster Truck Madness 2.
Nice.
It's there for you. So that's Nitro for this week. Wowzers. That was a slightly better episode than last week.
It was. I think it was greatly improved by the inclusion of a little bit of wiener.
A little bit of wiener.
Just a little bit of wiener.
Goes a long, long way.
Mike Wiener. It would have been, they just should have called him Wiener. It would have been fine.
I think they should have done. Yeah. They stand to lose some big WCW names coming up because Flair's off to have surgery. Yeah. Savage might be gone.
Why didn't they just drag Flair behind the truck? If he's already going to get surgery.
Run him over.
If he's already going to get surgery, you may as well send him, you know, just do something exciting with him rather than pretend to beat him up. Just drag him down.
Just go back and have the truck over him.
Drive him around, like drag him around on a sledge. You know, not dragging him around by on his skin. Drag him around on a hidden sledge on the back of Cobo Hall or something.
Or you stay, or you chain him to the front of the monster truck like lots of hugging at the end of Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And then you don't see Flair until he's better.
And it's a truck just driving back in.
Yeah.
With him on it. And he's like, I'm better now, in the exact same clothes, just covered in flies. Yeah.
Spitting flies out of his mouth. That would have been the fate. That would have been a fate worse than death. We're nearly at Halloween Havoc. We may. I don't know whether. I think we're gonna wrap up next week for the year.
Yes.
And we will do Halloween Havoc in January.
Lovely.
But then we'll have one more for the year. Part two of the Golden Age, the WWF Golden Age.
Sunday 7 p.m. GMT. YouTube.com/cultaholic. The premiere will be getting scheduled. Hopefully tonight or tomorrow, so you'll be able to jump in the room. Ready?
And if
tell you, all your fucking friends.
Yes. So here's the thing, right? If you love what we do and you've loved the first part of WWE's Golden Age and you want us to do more stuff like that.
Yes.
We can do it if you support it, right? So share it, tell people about it, comments, and all that good stuff. It helps.
If you have the means to and you would like to, please join our Patreon.
Patreon.com/cultaholic, because that way it shows that there is a love for it and we'll make more.
They're very expensive to produce, and so it's one of those things where the more support we have for it, the more people that are watching it, the more we're able to actually make them, which means we can make more of them generally. So it means there could be more documentaries interspersed throughout the year if there's more people, you know, watching, engaging, and helping us promote as much as possible. So thank you all.
Thank you very much. Until we're next back together, he's at the Sam Driver. I'm at Tom Campbell. Together, we're at Cold
Dollar. Mike Wiener.
Renegade.
Fucking love Renegade. I'm going to 3D print an Ultimate Warrior figure, and I'm just going to 3D print him as translucent pink. And I'm going to stick a big R on his chest. Or I might melt him a little bit so he looks like he's liquid.
This is the Gaviscon advert.
Not anymore. It's the Renegade advert. Fuck Gaviscon. Who's Gavin anyway?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.